Sports Gamble Podcast.
All right, looks like we're recording. You ready?
Yep.
Cool, welcome to the Sports Gamble Podcast, NFL Week 15 edition. I'm here with Manny, the moneymaker, Hernandez. What's up, Manny? How you doing?
Terrific. How about you?
Good, man. I'm doing great. NFL Week 15, we only got a few weeks left. But if you're in your season longs, you're in the semifinals this week, or you're in the playoffs. We're in the playoffs in a few leagues. Feels pretty good. Just want to do a little moment to brag real quick.
I don't really see no bragging unless you bring on the ship.
True. All right.
But
well, I mean,
that's just
top
me.
Four. I mean, you know, that's pretty good. Speaking of bragging, man, how'd your picks go last week? The money makers, the best bets.
Well, I didn't hold anything back, I'll tell you that much.
They went very respectable.
They went 10-6 against the spread, you know. So that was very good. I did not put down on the Texans money line. As you guys know, I'm a cheerleader for Andrew Luck. But I still think he's going to get it done, believe it or not. Anybody who gambles is a little bit of stubborn, but I still think he has a shot.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. There's a good division matchup this week for Andrew Luck, and 10-6, man, that's a really good number. Congratulations to you for that. So you ready to break down these games this week?
Yeah, but he plays the Vikings.
The Vikings,
what do you mean? He was just at Houston,
you're right, at Minnesota this week.
No, they hosted the Texans.
Hosted the Texans. Dang, look at you.
I'm
all
sorry,
prepared and factual and stuff.
I know, I'm sorry. I'm like, oh, man, I'm making my host. And I promise I'm working on that. Okay, I got to stop stepping on Isaac's toes. And I'm like,
dude, if I'm saying
nothing,
some
but like 2 minutes
shit,
into the podcast,
it,
2 minutes
good.
Into the podcast, I'm like, oh, wait a minute. What are you talking about? I mean, they have the Vikings and then they have the Raiders. And then they finish up against the Jaguars. So I'm like, I'm sorry.
No, it's good, man. Like I said, if I'm talking some bullshit, you got to let me know. You got to call me out, man. Our listener deserves better.
Well, it's not so much as calling you out. I know you appreciate the facts anyway.
I do. I appreciate facts, and so does Donald Trump. But anyways, let's get into these games. LA Rams at Seattle Seahawks. That's a Thursday game. We're recording this on a Wednesday afternoon, by the way. Over-under 38.5. Seattle, 16-point favorites. Dude, so the projected points for Seattle are 27, and the Rams are 11. So this is a really low line. The Rams suck. They're on the road at Seattle, who's pissed off. 16 is a huge number. Huge. Huge.
Yeah, 16 is huge. I wanted to get involved. I don't really feel like locking up my money with all the basketball on. Not so much college, but NBA. And, of course, I dabble into the football via Champions League. I know that's over till February, but still some EPL. You had a double fixture week, but that's neither here nor there, as Chola Fit would say. But anyhow, yeah, I really would have liked to have got on at 12.5, now at 16, but there's no way I could look to get on the Rams. And believe it or not, you can actually make a case for the Rams in this game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. They're 3-0 in their last three games against them. And
yeah,
they just fired
and
their coach. They're going to be fired up, you know, maybe.
Yeah, they seem to always have that extra oomph whenever they, you know, a team fires a coach or changes a coordinator. I know we've seen that, so it's got to be a pretty significant trend if someone starts following it. But no way. There's just too many options out there for me this Thursday night. And, I mean, if I have to, I think 38.5 sounds like a low number. When you put it down, like, you know, the projected line is 11 and 27, it sounds kind of high for you're asking for Russell Wilson. I mean, this is a guy who has managed to have his team not score a touchdown 3 weeks out of as many as we had this year, 14 weeks, 15 weeks.
Dude, Vegas,
I mean,
Vegas,
who hasn't been
take the over, bro. 38.5.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't know. I don't know if I could do it. But I'm not going to call every game. I'm not going to call these games junk games anymore. I'm going to be very appreciative of the football we have left.
Good, man. That's a good positive outlook. I will say that the Seahawks are minus 1,200, by the way. So you got to bet $1,200 to win 100. It's pretty crazy. Rams plus 825. Throw $10 on them, bro. Anyways,
No, don't do that, because that's lunch. That's lunch. You don't want to throw lunch away.
No. Our first Saturday game, Miami at New York Jets. This is a 8:25 p.m. Eastern game, so 5:30 out here on the West Coast. Over-under is even lower, 37.5. Miami, 2.5-point favorites on the road. So you got to take the short home dog, right? The Jets on this game?
I think you do. But, I mean, the Jets, I don't know so much as they came back alive. I know they decided to play hard for their quarterback. That wasn't Ryan Fitzpatrick. But the Niners just have a reputation of not finishing off the job. I know they've had three games where they've come up with 14-0 leads at home. So I wasn't surprised when the Jets came back to beat the 49ers. And I do think the Jets are still dead. And I think that the Jets might be looking to make a coaching change. And the Dolphins, they have a beat up offensive line, but I have faith in Matt Moore, Gaze, and Jay Ajayi. I mean, me and you, I know we've been singing the praises of Jay Ajayi. So I think this is a big game he likes to get up for. It's a primetime game. It's a single game. I don't know how you put it. I put that in the words, but it's just a single game, you know? It's a standalone game is what it is. I'm sorry. Standalone game.
There you go. Standalone. Yeah. I like that word.
Yeah, so I don't, you know what? I was just thinking right now I can't believe this total's even lower. And I think the NFL has to refer to Vegas when making a schedule or flexing games in and out. They got to be like, okay, in order for you to have a primetime game, a standalone game, you're going to have the teams be able to have a over-under set to at least 47.5. So it could be intriguing.
That's a good plan, yeah.
And it just hit me right now.
Because, I mean, then people will tune in for fantasy purposes. Because, I mean, like this, like, even if you're playing a slate on, like, daily fantasy that has Saturdays in it, I mean, there's still not a ton here that you're, like, super excited for. Like, you said Ajayi, and his price has come down a lot on DK, but still, I'm like, dude, I mean, never mind. I like Ajayi this week, especially at what Carlos Hyde did against his team. I do like Ajayi. You're right on that. But, no, that's a great point, man. You need to be, like, I think the NFL should contact you or consult you when making the schedule. Or like Vegas, like you said. You
know. Yeah, I mean, I'll bow to Vegas. They got to be like, okay, where are we at? 46? I don't know. That's who are you bringing to the table? You know, Dak and Eli. Okay, you can get on.
Good. Good point. Do you like a side or a total in this game?
Man, I like the over. I think these defenses are...
Should have bet the over.
Yeah. I think these defenses are very Swiss cheese-like. And I think the players that are playing giving effort for the Jets are the offensive players. Bilal Powell, I know he could be a play. I mean, I know you like to call it sneaky, but he's definitely a play.
Well, yeah, especially if Forte's out. You know, he's going to get all the carries and the passes, and he's probably going to do a lot with them, or at least do, you know, good enough. Hello?
Yeah, I was just waiting. I didn't want to interrupt.
Oh. No, that was all I had to say. Nothing too deep, sorry.
Right on.
All right, let's move on now. Philadelphia at Baltimore. Over-under is 41. Baltimore 6-point favorites at home. Manuel.
Yeah, I wanted to play my dogs, and I don't mean my dogs because I like the Eagles. Like, that's my team. I like playing underdogs. And anytime I get a spread of 6 or more, that's also calls for a juicy money line of, you know, close in the 250 range. But the more I dissected this game, the more I don't want any part of the Eagles. They are literally a team that's just played their Super Bowl. And believe it or not, against their divisional foe, the Redskins. And they gave it all they got. I know the Ravens didn't really look good on Monday night. Or maybe to some they did. I really didn't feel like the game was ever in doubt, even though some people were like, oh, they cut it to 3. I never really felt like the lead was in question or even the cover, to be honest with you. Even if you got 6, 6.5, 7.5, to whatever it may be. So I know the Ravens are coming off a tough spot, but I couldn't look to bet the Ravens. They seem to have a real true road dichotomy where they're playing really lights out at home, especially the defense. And now, if the Ravens' offensive coordinator is letting Joe Flacco let it rip, then this might be an opportunity to let it rip. I know that the Eagles just keep getting beat up. They just recently sent 3 players to IR that were all starters.
Right. So if you're looking for value at the running back position, Terrence West and Kenneth Dixon are really cheap, and Dixon's been doing a lot more work lately. He's been getting more snaps. And Kenjon Barner and Wendell Smallwood are probably not going to play, so it's Ryan Matthews and Darren Sproles for Philly, and Darren Sproles got that vicious hit. So if you think it's just going to be Ryan Matthews, this might be a sneaky spot for him. I know it's not a good matchup at Baltimore, but that's just a little fantasy advice. All those guys are under.
Who was the other guy? Because I know the Smallwood, he's done for the year. Nobody put him in his lineup. He's done.
Well, the other two they have are Darren Sproles and Kenjon Barner, but I think maybe the play might be pivoting even off all of these running games and going to like Jordan Matthews.
I mean, it depends who you have, but I don't want to play that. The Baltimore defense seems like a real prideful defense. So I know they're really kind of embarrassed to see what happened to them on Monday night to give up 30 points. I know it was the Patriots, but I don't think they care. The fact is they're going to want to take it out on somebody, and a rookie quarterback who hasn't been playing all that well, who just shot his load and lost against the Redskins. You have starters coming down. I mean, if you really want to see you play, I think Kenyon Barner is a play. I don't know if there's that much value there, but I wouldn't put my money on any other running back. I mean, we're still talking about Ravens defense that's 5 yards better as far as rush defensively speaking than everybody else in the NFL.
So if you're saying that, then maybe the play is, if you're saying Baltimore's going to win, the play is probably Terrence West or Kenneth Dixon. And at this point, maybe it's Kenneth Dixon.
I do love Dixon, and I don't care for any of the Eagle wide receivers.
So do you like Dixon your mouth?
No, never.
Oh.
I mean, I did have to think about it, but I was like, are we talking some kind of herb spice? Like, no.
No. All right, man. Cleveland at Buffalo. Buffalo 10-point favorites at home. Over-under is 41. This is a tremendous spot for Buffalo, man. I really like McCoy, Sammy Watkins, and Tyrod Taylor in this game, and I'm not really liking a lot of Cleveland. Sell me on Cleveland, man. What we got?
Well, the thing is, it's a really hard sell, but well, sir, you have here a Cleveland team that just came up empty off their bye week, and they're really looking for that first win. And I know there's a lot of turmoil in Buffalo. They're talking about firing Rex Ryan, benching Tyrod Taylor. Their best wide receiver is not even 100%, probably won't be for the rest of his career. And, you know, I think they're really not sure who give it to at the goal line, whether it's Gillis or LeSean McCoy. So I could really put a lot of a strain in the locker room. I really think the Browns are going to be out there and go hungry for it because, I mean, it's the snow. Anything can happen in the snow. And I know you didn't watch the Cleveland game, so I know you'll buy it.
I
know you'll buy it. But, no, I did watch a lot of the Cleveland game because for some reason I was crazy and decided to start RG3 in one of my leagues in a playoff game. And I survived it. But I'll never do that again.
Good. No, don't do that.
But, yeah, man, he's horrific. I can only attribute it to rust. I mean, he hasn't played in, like, 3 months. So, but still, I mean, the Buffalo Bills are just giving it up on the ground like it's nobody's business. Whether it's not just Le'Veon Bell. It's the week before they gave it up to the Raider running backs as well. And it's been all year. There's a lot of holes in that Buffalo defense, and I don't think Rex Ryan plays good under pressure. Or coach is good under pressure.
All right, so there you go. It might be Crowell and Duke Johnson. So we're really looking at some running back value this week from what we're finding out early, especially looking at these prices on DK. And value is always a good thing to have.
Yeah, I think Crowell still had like a 7 yard per carry average against the Bengals at home. So
Yeah,
I think they both offer a lot of value.
Yeah. All right, Detroit at New York. The Giants are 4-point favorites at home. The over-under is 41. We're looking at some possible rain in this game. The weather's not too great. Giants won, man. They shut down the Cowboys. 7 points, held them to 7 points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how many people read the column, but or if I can even call it a column, but if you have a guy from Mississippi State playing in 20-degree weather all night, I know that both teams played in it, and I know the Giants didn't play particularly well, and that's an understatement. I mean, they turned the ball over 6 times, but I know this has been asked. I actually want to shoot the shit with you a little bit about the Cowboys. I want to see Tony Romo in there. I think that if you're going to the playoffs, as of right now without Tony Romo, I'm taking the Seahawks, even as shitty as they looked on the road, to go to the Super Bowl out of the NFC. Now, with Tony Romo at home versus the Seahawks, that's a different story. Because last night's game, Sunday night, I think Tony Romo finds a way to win that game. He finds a way to get Dez Bryant the ball. And I kind of felt it that Dez Bryant was going to get throw up a zero because in my leagues, I didn't start him. But I know that the locker room has Dak Prescott's back, but to be comparing Dak to Tom Brady, there's only one Tom Brady. And, I mean, we can only see in hindsight, but I think I'm favorite to say that Dak Prescott is not Tom Brady.
Yeah, man, I think as far as, like, the whole Romo situation, one thing I was thinking about, I was going to talk to you about was, you know, once the playoffs start and the Cowboys are a lock to be in the playoffs, what we'll do is probably get in some people who are, you know, big fans and who follow the team a lot. So we'll get some Cowboy fans in here. We'll get some Raider fans. You are a Raider fan, but, you know, maybe we'll let George and B come. You guys can circle jerk on the Raiders all you want. Maybe if the Packers make it, we can get Hens in here again. But, yeah, I mean, I think the Romo situation is going to be a hot topic every time they lose. And as long as they win, that'll be fine. But if they lose, they got a little scapegoat is the way I see it. But
yeah, good way to put it. It's just like the quarterback gets all the glory and he gets all the blame. And definitely this team is not helping him out that on third down. And it's been highly speculative. And I hate beating a dead horse because I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. But everywhere you turn, it's like how terrible they've been on third down the last 2 weeks. Well, last 2 weeks they played the Minnesota Vikings and Giants defense that impressed me Sunday. It was their spot. It was there at home, and it was a good spot for them.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree. I like the Giants.
But by no means do I like the Dallas defense, and I do think that Dak has gotten them this far, but I wouldn't mind seeing the baton being passed. I think Tony Romo could get them passed to the Super Bowl. I think Tony Romo can get him to the Super Bowl. And as long as Jerry Jones is the owner and the GM, he definitely won't close the door on Tony Romo coming back.
Why can't teams play two quarterbacks? From what I've heard. Is that crazy?
Yeah, no.
Teams have a starting pitcher and a closer.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I don't know the dynamics of it, to be honest with you. I mean, you definitely want to have a guy. I've heard things like you do have two guys, you have no guys, but I don't know. And I think if that does happen, if they do lock it up, say on Sunday, if they squeak out a 3-point win and then they decided to give Romo a shot in the second half starting week 16 and then he starts week 17 and then he looks good, that could be worse for the Cowboys because they're going to be like, whoa, they're going to have 2 weeks to stew over about hosting somebody and who do they start? And then Dak Prescott has an unimpressive first half, and the Cowboys are down, you know, maybe even 3 points, not even down a whole lot. So
that would be great, man. Cowboy fans and Romo fans would probably wet themselves in sheer excitement.
I'm not a Dak Prescott guy, but I mean, who cares? And then if Romo breaks his back, you have Dak, and you're like everybody's be like,
dude, they got to do whatever gives them the best shot to win. I mean, throw all the politics out, like. If you think you're better with Dak, you go with Dak. If you think you're better with Romo, you go with Romo. And just whatever, dude. Let the chips fall where they may. Your goal is to win a freaking game. That is your goal. And if I'm a coach, I'm just going to put out there who's the best. But I'm not a coach. I'm just a lonely podcaster.
You're not alone. Maybe
you're
I am.
Right. Yeah. All right, let's move on, dude. We're not even freaking
talking
about
Cowboys. Oh, man, I couldn't even tell my joke. All right.
It's all about Cowboys. You want to finish your joke?
Nah, there'll be plenty of times for jokes.
Okay. Yes. Tennessee at Kansas City. Kansas City 5-point favorites at home, over under 42. A lot of low numbers this week. Kansas City looks great, man. They took care of business at home against the Raiders. Tyreek Hill, Tyreek the Freak. Tennessee's tough, though, and they have a good running game. Kansas City's not the best against the run. What say ye, Manny?
I hate to refer back to my column, but I did say, and I'm not one
to... Your nationally syndicated column.
And I'm not one to, like, you know, be touting my own horn or whatever, tooting my own whatever. But I did say that the Denver Broncos were done. And maybe they were 8-4 before that game. And they did lose to the Tennessee Titans. And the next, I know we're not at that game, but I know the Tennessee Titans were part of the destruction and the demise of the Denver Broncos season. But the Denver Broncos' next three games are New England, Raiders, and Kansas City. They're done. Right?
Right.
All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree with you.
Okay.
And it's a great call by you, and your column is fantastic, man.
Thank you, editor. Anyhow, okay, so no more Niners picks, right? Because then I lose money, too.
Dude, no more Niner picks, please. I've learned my lesson. I'm still one game above 500, so I'm trying to finish out the season strong here, comrade.
Let's do it. Okay, let's do it for Mother Russia. But anyway.
Yeah.
Probably going to get our podcast tapped now because I made a reference to Russia.
Do you think when Russia officially takes over our government, they'll legalize sports gambling?
No.
Oh.
They'll legalize sports doping, but anyway. Okay, so Kansas City versus the Tennessee Titans. This is a tricky game, man. If anything, I want to take the points because I think that it's a good bounce back game for Mariota. I mean, he had a crappy game. We knew that was going to happen, though. He really doesn't have a lot of options at wide receiver. The Denver Broncos don't let you pass it on them. Bam, plain and simple. There are yards to be had there with the Kansas City defense secondary. So,
I agree, but I can't bet against Kansas City at home with extra time. But I do agree with you with there's points to be had and there's yards to be had. So I like the over in this game.
I think it's too easy to say the over. This is literally a coin flip over. So, or under. I would rather not. I'm going to stay away from this game. If anything, I'm going to bet the Titans.
All right, here's another game with a low over-under. The Packers at the Bears. Over-under is 40.5. Packers 6.5-point favorites on the road. Barkley is looking fresh lately, and he might have Alshon Jeffrey back. Who knows? He might not. Either way, I like Cameron Meredith in this game. Aaron Rodgers has a slight calf injury, allegedly, or hamstring. I think it's a calf. But he looked good, man, against Seattle, although this could be a letdown spot. What do you think?
Well, from what I read, it was already a hamstring injury that he compensated for the hamstring and then he pulled his calf or something of the sort. And I do like how the Bears defense has been playing. They're definitely a team that it's a bet on team. They don't quit. They have a nice running game. Matt Barkley seems to be finding the holes on defenses. This is a division game. This is way too many points. Rodgers not 100%. Green Bay Packers don't have a trustworthy defense or running back. I know how you say that's a really good stack to have. And you look on the other side of the coin, the Bears have a really good running back. And believe it or not, they really have a good statistical defense per yard, per play. So I know that the Green Bay Packers need this. This is literally a playoff game for them. Damn, I'm saying literally a whole shitload of today. I was trying to make a point to my daughter.
You are literally saying literally.
I was just trying to make a point to my daughter not to say that. So I started saying it every single sentence of my life. And now I can't stop saying it because it was bugging the hell out of me. But that's neither here nor there. So this is a lot of points. The Green Bay Packers wish they had a running back as good as Jordan Howard. The thing that gets me, though, is I'm excited for Alshon coming back as much as the next guy. Game time temperatures, and I know you already mentioned about check your weather reports for, you know, games in Buffalo and New York and such of the matter. But game time is supposed to be 2 degrees in Chicago on Sunday.
Yeah, dude, I was reading it's going to be cold.
Yeah, so, I mean, we already know defenses don't really want to tackle in the cold. I foresee a great game, even for Ty Montgomery. I'm not saying he's not good as Jordan Howard. He might not be, but I think it's a good matchup for him.
No, I like the matchup for Ty Montgomery as well, man. So you know the Packers are going to spread it out and pass, and if they have that guy out the backfield, and Montgomery looked pretty good, yeah, you're right.
But I'm gonna bet the Bears. I think they're like on 3 or 4 game against the spread winning.
I like the Bears too, and I like Cameron Meredith. Like I said,
yeah, I can't really argue against it. Meredith has been as consistently as a Bears wide receiver is going to be all year.
Yeah. All right. Indianapolis at Minnesota. Over/under is 45.5. Minnesota 4-point favorites at home. Man, Minnesota has been playing pretty good defense lately. Andrew Luck keeps finding a way to turn the ball over. You think that's going to continue in this week against Minnesota?
Well, it'd be easy to say yes because he's playing Minnesota, which I think is a darn good defense. But I think that the Minnesota defense is – they're really beat up, and they're just really primed for Andrew Luck to have an upset here. So I'm going to go ahead money line Andrew Luck. I think Andrew Luck and his mates are going to rally around, and they're playing for their season every game now. I know I could have been said about the Texans game, but something happened. They called a crappy play on 4th-and-1, and us the Bears get to benefit from it because we had a juicy money line.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. You heard it here first. Indianapolis Colts, take the money line and run.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, fantasy-wise, I really like Stephon Diggs and T.Y. Hilton in this game. I like the receivers more than I like the running backs. And I think Matt Asiata could be a sneaky play. This could be one of his, like, 2 or 3 touchdown, 40-yarders. Be awesome.
Definitely. All your tight ends are in play as well. I mean, you're talking about your Kyle Rudolph and your Dwayne Allen and Doyle. So... Just find your value.
Because, see, that's a sneaky Christmas reference right there. Yeah. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Yep.
Kyle Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
I'm not going to fight you on it. Yep. 'Tis the season.
All right. Yep. Jacksonville at Houston. Over/under is 39. Houston 6-point favorites at home. This is the battle of the two most terriblest quarterbacks of all time.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad.
I'm going to go ahead and take the under. I got burned last game. I bet Minnesota and Jacksonville under. But I think Bradford is a little bit more competent than Brock Osweiler. So I'm going to go ahead and make me an under formula of a little bit of Brock, a little bit of Blake, and a whole lot of bad decision-making on both parts. So it's really tough, though, in the NFL because one of these touchdowns to the houses will kill the over-under. But, I mean, that's what we're doing. We're gambling.
Yeah, dude. I mean, somehow Blake Bortles, is like a top 13 scoring quarterback. Did you know that?
Nah.
In fantasy?
I really don't. I don't know. I don't know why I don't, but I'm not surprised that he is. Like, he gets a lot. He's known as Mr. Junk Time, right?
Yeah. I know. He's minimum price on DraftKings. This could be a sneaky play. But that's just me. I don't know if I'm going to do it. I haven't done all of my research yet. But that's something that I'm thinking about. Not too happy I'm thinking about it. Anyways, man, let's move on. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Over/under is 44. Pittsburgh 3-point favorites. So basically, Le'Veon Bell was the only thing that made my fantasy day last week salvageable. I lost money, but I didn't lose as much as I could have because I played Le'Veon Bell on a lot of teams, which was great, but... What was not so great is I paired him with, like, a lot of duds like Russell Wilson or Crab Legs or Ben Roethlisberger or Breeze, all these players who sucked last week.
There was a whole lot of that going on, man. I'm sure you weren't the only one. Every dog has his day.
No.
And there's a lot of people who play these sneaky guys, and they're the ones who benefited last week.
Yeah, and, I mean, no, you're right. It was. I mean, look at my league. 3 of the top 4 seeds lost. There was just some bad beats, man. It happens.
Yeah, that's why fantasy is stupid and I hate it.
Anyways, my point was Le'Veon Bell is still the second highest. I mean, David Johnson is more, but he's a good good player, fantasy and real life. I think it's a good matchup for him and Antonio Brown. I do not trust Big Ben still on the road, although this is a good matchup with Cincinnati. And I like Cincinnati, man. I like Andy Dalton. If AJ Green's playing, I like him too. And I like Eifert. Boyd, I mean, there's a lot to like here, I think, on both sides.
Yeah, I mean, I want to say that it's – I like to bet the under because I know the wins can get kind of tricky, but I still don't trust neither of these defenses. And Ben had like 3 or 4 interceptions last game, so he could bounce back and just put Cincinnati where they belong and end their season in their home stadium. I really like to bet Cincinnati. If I'm going to put down money, it's going to be on Cincinnati, but I'm not going to recommend a over and under on it. A lot of unknowns. Yeah. And, I mean, is AJ Green playing? Did he practice today?
Right now he's looking pretty good, man. Yeah, I think he did, like, walkthroughs or whatever. So that's a good sign. It's something to be monitored.
No, I mean, AJ Green is definitely very pliable. He's like the anti-Sam Watkins. So I like him.
All right. Me too. All right, so now we're in the afternoon games. New Orleans at Arizona, over-unders 50.5. So now we're getting to some high over-unders. Arizona, 2.5-point favorites at home. David Johnson is your highest-priced running back. On DraftKings, 10.1K. I love him, though, this week, man. I really like David Johnson this week. What do you think?
Man, they shut down the muscle hamster? That will scare you?
No.
Yeah, that was just being sarcastic. Yeah, there's no way. Yeah, but I really like the over in this game, actually.
Dude, Breeze has sucked the last 2 weeks, man. Like, fantasy-wise and real-life-wise. How can he be trusted on the road at Arizona?
Well, I mean, that's why I like it, because I've been telling you, I'm like, I don't think – I know it was against the Lions I warned you, and I really didn't have a read on the Miami game, but – I didn't bet the Miami game. Oh, I did. I did bet on the Cardinals. I'm sorry, so I lost that one. I didn't bet the Patriots. I bet Drew Brees. Yeah, they didn't get blown out. +8.5 on that teaser. That's what I was trying to get to in my thought process. Okay. The thing is, let me explain what happened. The thing is, it was a very emotional, volatile week for Drew Brees and a lot of the New Orleans Saints players because they were stuck in that trial for Will Smith and Cordell Hayes. I believe the gentleman's is the guy who stood trial, was found guilty of manslaughter, 20, 40 years, 60 years or something like that. So they were in court, I think, all week, definitely threw off the rhythm. I know that athletes' routine is the most important thing. And when you're talking about instead of going to film meetings and checking out crab legs, you're going to go and go to be at the courtroom and be involved emotionally and mentally, that could take a toll on an NFL player, not even just a regular person. So I think that really cost them this week. And that might have been their season, but I still think that they're professional enough to get their heads out of their butts and come out with a good effort, maybe even a win in Arizona. That's just me. I mean, I'm not scared to go up against Carson, and I'm sure Drew Brees ain't either.
Yeah. I would love for this game to turn into a battle, and I would love for the over to hit because I do like a lot of players in this matchup. Jermaine Gresham, man, he's still minimum price for Arizona, and he's still getting targets, so that's a really cheap tight end option if you want to run that. They cut Michael Floyd, so you can think, in theory, that's going to upgrade like J.J. Nelson, John Brown, and what other wide receivers they have, or maybe just upgrade Gresham, Fitzgerald, and Johnson even more.
Yeah, and now I think Gresham became even more viable because they just cut Malcolm Floyd.
Yeah, of course. Anyways, man, let's move on to the next game right there. San Francisco at Atlanta, over-under is 51. Atlanta, 14-point favorites at home. Check this out, Manuel. Colin Kaepernick took his GRE exam. It's a graduate entry exam. I believe it's a writing exam. Because he said he wanted to keep his options open. Does this sound like someone who is fully invested in playing football?
When did he do this? What is that? Is he trying to be a lawyer?
it's just a graduate exam. It's just a writing exam. So yeah, if you want to get into graduate school, I don't think it's the LSAT. I think that's for like law school, but it's like a first step to graduate school.
I mean, you can't really blame somebody for trying to have their options open. I don't know what you're trying to get. I mean, I know that you're talking about it because he's your team's quarterback. That's why you're being extra critical of him. But I mean, if you have guys that are taking time off practice to go be in core, I see where you're getting at. I don't think that's gonna make or break Colin Kaepernick or the Niners, though. I mean, your initial question is, I don't think that screams somebody who's fully invested in being a quarterback. I guess you could say no. It just depends on someone's mental capacity. I mean, he did go to Nevada, true. Though. It's yeah, not like he went
right.
to...
You're right. He could be like, I can be the best quarterback, and I could take this entrance exam.
Yeah, but yeah.
That's what I'm saying. But as a better, is that something that is going to scare you off?
Oh, definitely. Your answer is no. Yes. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, my answer is yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I want my guys dumb and just... I'm sorry. Just... But not so much dumb, I should say that, but just passionate about football, and that's passionate about learning the opponent, and passionate about practice, getting there early, being there late, just having the work ethic right. towards football.
Yeah, and I guess something more tangible is that the Niners, they were already terrible, but Torrey Smith's not going to play. They lost their center.
I can equate it to, like, you know, I don't want, like, real successful gamblers aren't having discussions about great movies or books or pop culture. You know, they're kind of like putting their nose to the grindstone and knowing who the 13th or the 12th guy on the Pacers bench is, maybe. Maybe. This is for an example.
Okay. Well, what I was getting at is the Niners suck, and they're going to suck even worse because they're already down extra players, and they're at Atlanta. I think this is a really good spot for Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, and I know this is a good spot for Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
I heard Julio Jones has already been declared out.
Yeah, and on top of that, they were up big last week, and I think if they get up big again, they're just going to start resting some players anyways. So...
But I heard that they're trying to give Matt Ryan an MVP. So I don't see it because I think they're just going to try to get him the MVP, maybe make sure he has at least 4 touchdowns passing.
Well, I don't think he's going to get the MVP either, but what do I know?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they're not going to try. That doesn't mean they're going to be like, "Oh, I don't think we're going to get it, bud." So we're not going to effort for you.
Right. All right, I'm not going to bet the Niners this week. That's a lot of points, but I'm still not going to do it, Manuel. I guarantee you, I promise you.
I'm trying to run away from this game. You keep talking about it.
All right, New England at Denver. This should be a really good game. Over-under is 43.5. New England, 3-point favorites on the road. I really see New England really wanting to get a big win in this game. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see what's so good about it. The Broncos are a bad team to watch. They're one-dimensional, and if they only do one thing, and Bill Belichick is the king of taking away the one thing you do well, and this is the place that has been historically a place of horrors for Tom Brady, this could be your big revenge spot for him. You talk about putting a cap on your MVP season, he can go in there and fucking just shit on this team. I think the line's too short. I know they're respecting this Denver defense, but I can't wait to lay 3.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you completely.
And even that, just on Monday, the more I dug in, remember I said, "Hey, I think I'm gonna take the Ravens, try to middle." Then I did some digger deeping. So what the hell is that?
Dude, I love digger deeping.
I dug a little deeper, and I was like, "Oh man, the Ravens haven't really played anybody, and whoever they beat is at home, really." And so it's a really young defense. I'm not too impressed with their playmakers on the outside. I know they come to play, like you talked about, Steve Smith, for big games. But anyway, so I decided to stay off of it, and I was glad I did. I'm glad I decided not to middle the Ravens and the Patriots game.
True. Good call. I totally agree with you with the New England thing. And I'm going to look to stack some of these players. Good luck picking James White or Deion Lewis. I think LeGarrette Blount is safer to be honest. And as far as the other side of the ball, I like Emmanuel Sanders more than Demaryius Thompson this game, but I think one of those two pass catchers could be beneficial. All right, let's move on. Oakland at San Diego. There's some really good afternoon games. Oakland at San Diego. Oakland 3-point favorites on the road. Over-under is 49.5. This is a battle of two teams who are not looking too good lately, and it's a division matchup. I'm expecting some fireworks in this game.
What do you mean by fireworks? Like a lot of scoring?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean...
Tell me why I'm wrong.
No, you're not wrong. I mean, it's definitely not good defenses. Raiders come prepared with extra rest. And Phillip Rivers has been really prone to throwing interceptions for some reason. I don't know if apparently he's forcing the ball. I just see that he aged father time might be catching up with him mostly than anybody else. And the injury-ravaged Chargers suffer yet another injury, and Melvin Gordon goes down. So it's going to be tough for them to recuperate. But we're talking about the Raiders, who seem to have, you know, weapons at will. It's going to be tough. I know this is a revenge game for the Chargers. I don't see how it's a low-scoring game. So, yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, I think fantasy, you look for some players to stack up, and kind of really not too in love with the quarterbacks, to be honest, but I do like some of the options. I know that's kind of weird to say, but it's going to be kind of hard to figure out exactly who's going to be like the number one. For example, in San Diego, I think they're still going to try to run the ball with Farrow and Hillman, and they like to spread it around between Tyrell, Williams, Dontrell Inman, and Antonio Gates get a lot of looks. So definitely try to stack some players in this.
If there is an edge for the Chargers, is that they have better tight ends than the Raiders. I don't know what it's worth, but their tight ends are pretty
more pass catchers. You're right. So that, I mean, that could more Phillip Rivers value. All right, man. Tampa Bay at Dallas.
Hold on. Let me check something real quick. Yeah.
What are you checking?
Oh, yeah. No snow expected in San Diego. So I think you're ready to go.
Oh, good, man. Thanks for the weather update on that one. Tampa Bay at Dallas. Dallas 7-point favorites at home. The over-under is 46. Here you go, man. This is your Tony Romo, Dak Prescott, game-by-game controversy that's going to happen until Dallas wins. And then, but even if they win ugly, then they're still, people are still going to be like, oh, Romo would have won better or something. Oh, man, I'm tired of talking about the Cowboys, dude.
You talk about them that often, huh?
Well, I'm tired of hearing about them, and people are going to get so much information about the Cowboys on every website, every radio show. They're, you know,
man,
they're the Cowboys, man. They're winning. So
they're America's team. Yeah, it's going to be. It's obvious. Trump-like. I usually like to bet behind the sharps, and I'm definitely going to get on the sharps. I like Winston. A lot of people don't, so I know that presents me with a little bit more value. I think, just put it simply, I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a little bit better than the Washington Redskins, and the Washington Redskins were getting 5.5, and I have the Bucs getting 7. That's 1.5 of value. Simple as that.
Yeah. There you go. I mean, that's some classic better logic. I think that's good advice. Fantasy-wise, I mean, you're going to go Ezekiel Elliott, Mike Evans, and you said you like Winston. I'm kind of off Dak Prescott a little bit. Maybe just because I'm buying into all the media hype, but maybe he's just hitting a rookie wall, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think he's hitting a little bit of a rookie wall. And I mean, right now, this time last year, he was taking exams and having a four-week break for a bowl game. So this is definitely new territory for him. And, man, you have a fresh Tony Romo just sitting there. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what Jerry Jones and Garrett decide to do.
A fresh coming off two back surgery, 38-year-old Tony Romo just sitting there.
Yeah, just sitting there, back, you know, just sealed up. Anyway. It's been – the glue's been stuck on there for a while. You know, just play with
like
your new
toy.
I like
when he gets up and he turns like he's in like a full upper body brace. You know, because of his back, and he's just like has to. If he wants to look to his left, he has to turn his whole body. anyways, Carolina at Washington, man, Monday night. This should be an awesome Monday night game. I'm hoping it is. Over-under is 51. Washington, 6.5-point favorites at home. Please, Kirk Cousins, please bring us home. Bring us to the glory land. I really love Kirk Cousins, and I kind of like Cam Newton this game, even though he's been kind of shardy lately. I like this game for fantasy purposes. What do you think, Manuel?
Yeah, I think it's – I want to bet on the Redskins, but I can't really lay more than 3 points with that defense that the Redskins bring to the forefront. I mean, I mentioned something about the Eagles and the Redskins playing in the Super Bowl last week for their division, you know, just division rival. I don't think they're going to – well, it'll be Monday Night Football, so they'll get up for the Panthers. But this is basically the Josh Norman Bowl, I guess, right?
Right. There's a good narrative for you.
Yeah, so we'll see how often Cam Newton attacks him. But definitely Cam Newton probably wants to salvage the season, at least for some fantasy football owners, wouldn't you say?
I would say, and if you have Cam Newton as your quarterback and you made it this far, then that means you probably picked up Kirk Cousins and were starting him the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
So you're going to have a decision
Rob
there.
Kelly, Isaac?
I love Robert Kelly. R. Kelly is a great singer and producer and songwriter.
Yeah, he sings rap and bullshit and stuff notice. Like that.
Yeah. No, R. Kelly, I like him this week. Dude, I like all, like I said, I'm in some leagues where it's Monday, Thursday, or Monday is in the play on DraftKings, and I'm throwing Cousins in there. I love his price. I love the value. I love that he's at home. And I love that he's going up against a team that has the potential to score, because I think Redskins just like to be in shootouts. Like you said, these defenses can't be trusted, and I hope it turns into one of those, all right, whoever has a ball last is going to win, you know?
Yeah, this definitely falls into the category where the NFL got it right, and I'm sure it was by accident, where the over-under is going to be, what is it, at least 48.5, 50?
51.
Yeah, exactly. So bring me some of those, NFL.
Bring it on, and we'll see it. All right, Manuel, that's it. Those are all the games, week 15. I'm excited, man. We got fantasy playoffs. We got a couple weeks left. It's looking good, man. Playoffs are coming soon.
Yes, definitely. Maybe not a lot of good football, but there's a spread on it.
Hey, and that makes it super exciting. All right, man. Sports Gamble Podcast. You got anything else to say?
No. Man, this is really, if the Colts don't come through with that money line, I have to endorse somebody else.
Good call. All right, Sports Gamble Podcast. See you out. Peace.
Your mom's favorite sports gamble podcast.